Ever demolished an entire bag of chips after promising yourself just a handful? Welcome to the human condition. We're not lazy or broken. We're caught in an evolutionary trap. Our brains evolved with two competing operating systems, one designed for immediate survival, grab that food now, and another for long-term success, save some for tomorrow. The problem? These systems are constantly at war, and the primitive one usually wins. This isn't a character flaw, it's biology. Understanding this internal conflict transforms how we approach self-control, shifting from harsh self-judgment to strategic self-awareness. The question isn't whether you'll face this battle, but whether you'll recognize it when it happens. Self-control is a full-body experience. When temptation strikes, your body launches the pause and plan response. Heart rate drops, breathing deepens, and energy redirects from muscles to brain, buying precious seconds for better choices. Heart rate variability, the natural fluctuation in your heartbeat, serves as your self-control fuel gauge. Higher variability means more willpower reserves. Two factors dramatically affect this reserve: exercise and sleep. Just 15 minutes of physical activity reduces cravings and boosts mood. Meanwhile, sleeping less than 6 hours essentially intoxicates your prefrontal cortex, leaving you with the self-control of someone who's had a few drinks. When you face the dessert menu after a rough night, you're not operating at full capacity. Your body is conserving resources it thinks are scarce. Willpower works like a phone battery. Each decision drains it incrementally. Refuse office gossip? Down 10%. Skip the afternoon cookie? Another 15% gone. By evening, you're running on fumes. Students who power through exams start binge eating and snapping at friends. Smokers who resist cigarettes all day demolish ice cream at night. Even controlling facial expressions during tedious meetings depletes willpower for the gym later. Your brain treats self-control as expensive. When blood sugar dips or stress rises, self-control gets cut first, like canceling gym memberships during financial crises. But here's the paradox. Like muscles, willpower strengthens through training. Small, consistent challenges, improving posture, tracking expenses, daily push-ups, build overall capacity. The specific task matters less than choosing difficulty over ease. While we genuinely run low on willpower, we often have more reserves than we believe. The gap between I can't and I don't want to is bigger than it feels. Here's a psychological trap. Doing something good makes us feel entitled to do something bad. Psychologists call this moral licensing. Princeton students who rejected blatant sexism subsequently discriminated more in hiring decisions than those who hadn't established their "I'm not sexist" credentials. The logic is absurd. Resisting buying shoes doesn't earn you dessert, but our brains don't care about consistency. Progress becomes our enemy. Dieters reminded of their success choose chocolate over apples. Students who feel good about study time hit the party instead of the library. We even credit ourselves for future good behavior. Planning to exercise tomorrow justifies overeating today. Ordering a salad somehow cancels out the milkshake. When restaurants added healthy options, customers ordered more indulgent sides and desserts, consuming more total calories than before. The solution requires a fundamental identity shift. Stop viewing your disciplined self and indulgent self as separate entities locked in negotiation. Your authentic self, the one aligned with your deepest values, wants what's truly best for you. When you make this shift, you stop needing bribes or rewards for basic progress. Your goals and actions align naturally because they reflect who you actually want to be. In 1953, scientists discovered what they thought was the brain's pleasure center. Rats crossed electrified grids, ignoring food despite starvation, just to stimulate this region. But this wasn't pleasure, it was dopamine, the neurochemical of wanting, not having. Dopamine creates desire and anticipation. It fires when you expect reward, then goes silent when you receive it. Pleasure registers in completely different brain regions. Evolution designed this system to make us pursue food and mates. Today, it makes us compulsively check phones, refresh social media, and queue up the next video. Technology exploits this mercilessly. Video games produce dopamine spikes equivalent to amphetamines. Email notifications trigger the same anticipation as slot machines. Grocery stores place free samples strategically to maximize dopamine release, making shoppers hungrier and more reward-seeking. When stressed, this system intensifies. News about death makes us vulnerable to advertisements. Anxiety sends us scrolling for distraction. The promise of relief becomes irresistible, even though these rewards rarely deliver happiness. We mistake the intensity of wanting for evidence that something will make us happy, confusing the carrot with actual nourishment. Stress makes temptation irresistible. When we feel terrible, our brain floods the reward system with dopamine, making everything tempting. Food, alcohol, shopping, TV, social media. Laboratory studies confirm this. Stressed smokers crave cigarettes. Anxious eaters want junk food. Even rats seek sugar when distressed. This isn't weakness. It's biology protecting your mood. Enter the what the hell effect, the most destructive pattern in self-control. One small slip triggers guilt, which drives bigger indulgence. Dieters who eat a forbidden cookie devour the entire box. Shoppers who break their budget blow it completely. We assume harsh self-criticism motivates improvement, but research shows the opposite. Self-criticism predicts less motivation and worse self-control. The counterintuitive solution is self-forgiveness. When researchers told women who'd eaten donuts not to be too hard on themselves, those women ate less than half the candy in a subsequent test. Self-compassion doesn't mean self-indulgence. It means treating yourself like someone you're trying to help rather than punish. Studies show that self-compassion increases accountability and learning from mistakes. Kindness toward yourself isn't permission to fail. It's the foundation for actual change. Willpower isn't a solo performance. At the Air Force Academy, the least fit cadet in a squadron gradually dragged down everyone else's fitness. Their influence proved more predictive than individuals' own pre-academy fitness levels. When a friend becomes obese, your risk increases by 171%. Behaviors we consider purely personal spread through social networks like contagious diseases. Your brain's mirror neurons automatically encode others' actions as if you're performing them yourself. We catch willpower failures through unintentional mimicry, emotional contagion, and goal contagion, unconsciously pursuing others' activated goals. This isn't conscious imitation, it's neurological reality. We're also swayed by perceived norms. A California energy study revealed that while residents claimed environmental concern motivated conservation, the only factor actually predicting behavior was what they believed their neighbors were doing. Yet here's the critical distinction. Anticipated pride strengthens self-control, while actually feeling ashamed triggers the what the hell effect. The path forward isn't about superhuman discipline. It's about paying attention. Notice when your primitive brain hijacks your prefrontal cortex. Recognize when stress floods your reward system. Catch yourself licensing bad behavior with good intentions. You're not broken. You're human, equipped with both the impulse to grab immediate pleasure and the capacity to pursue meaningful goals. The power lies in recognizing which voice is speaking and choosing consciously which one deserves your attention.